You all know about the C-21 mystery. Eight men dead when an Air Force Learjet went down in Alabama. Nobody knows quite what brought it down. It was completely destroyed, but they did get the black box, the flight recorder, so we may be able to find out. Killed Air Force Assistant Secretary Clark Feaster and Air Force Major General Glenn Proffitt. Among those killed. A possible cause they're toying with is a fuel imbalance. In other words, the Lear has fuel stored in the wings, and if you get too much of an imbalance, obviously you can't fly. We'll find out. Economic news. Housing starts are down about 8%. Down in the West as much as 20%. Down despite falling mortgage rates. Signs are that the housing market will continue to fall. Now, I've got all kinds of news about the dollar. We've got a serious problem here, folks, so let me read you a couple of facts. As art, the U.S. economy, as well as the world monetary system, is in serious jeopardy. The dollar is collapsing and rapidly losing its status as the world's premier currency. I've included a copy of a record-breaking drop it took on the overseas market this evening when it plummeted to an incredible 1.345 marks to the dollar and an astounding 79.7 yen. When will the American people wake up and take notice of what's happening? Will they wait until it is completely collapsed under the tremendous burden it now shoulders? Or will it be when the value of the dollar is measured by its weight rather than its denominational value? When the day comes that a $100 bill only puts a couple of gallons of gas in one's car, it's going to be too late. Something must be done now. The crash of the dollar is not some futuristic event. It's taking place right this moment. Indeed, Tokyo, the Associated Press. The dollar fell to a new low against the Japanese yen in early trading Wednesday, following a decline overseas due in part to pessimism with regard to talks between the U.S. and Japan. Tokyo stock prices nosedived. The dollar fell to 79.75 yen from 81.12 late Tuesday. It did climb back to 80.08 yen. My God, it's the lowest dollar-yen rate since the modern exchange rate system was set up in the late 1940s. My. NBC did a piece last night on sexual harassment. What is sexual harassment? Who knows? I used to think that it meant that you were grabbing at a female or you were being sexually aggressive in some unwanted, unwelcome way. I always thought that was sexual harassment. Anyway, whatever it is, since Anita accused Clarence, the number of sexual harassment complaints to government agencies has risen, get ready for this now, 109%. 109%. So far, $22 million has been paid in claims. There is a Los Angeles fire captain, Steve Johnson, who is challenging a policy in his fire department, apparently, which says that he's not even allowed to have a Playboy magazine at the fire station. Apparently, these days, one can be charged with sexual harassment for looking at a woman. And I think we've gone too far. This is really pathetic and sad. I mean, look, women to me are beautiful creatures. And if there's one nearby and there's something to be seen, I do not now know the harm in looking. I've never known the harm in looking. And if you can actually be charged with sexual harassment for merely looking, well, I don't know, America's turning into a different kind of place. What has happened to sexuality and the relationship between men and women? Is it now just going to be a matter for court and for challenge and for... I think we're ruining it. this great thing, this relationship between men and women, we are ruining it. And I'm not happy about that. I should tell you I'm not happy. And I wonder if you feel the same way, or do you think they're on the right track, and that that people should absolutely have their distance and their space, and that women should not expect to be looked at? Is that where we want the relationship between men and women in this country to be going? I don't think so. Now, let's see. Still reacting to McNamara, a lot of people are. Art, I agree with you about McNamara. Do you think he wrote the book to tell his story or to earn more big money? I'd feel better if he donated the proceeds to a veterans organization. I believe Charleston, South Carolina, by the way, suffered major damage from an earthquake sometime back in the mid-19th century. Enjoy the show. You're fair and reasonable. Longboat Key, Florida. Wow, down in the Florida Keys. Longboat Key, Florida. I've always looked at the Keys as a wonderful place to be. It's beautiful there. And then this, and then we'll get the phone lines open. Art, you have a great show. Art, this country has to legalize drugs, whether we like it or not. The present situation is not tolerable. The arguments now are the same as were used during Prohibition. As it was then necessary to legalize alcohol in order to control the rum runners, it's now necessary to take drug money out of the hands of the dope gangs. This is the major issue, though there are many others involved. Many people think this problem is unique to modern-day America, but it's occurred throughout history and the world. Anybody who is generally concerned with this topic ought to take the time to read The Forbidden Game, A Social History of Drugs. It is a scholarly work that provides much thought-provoking information. As a true believer in Republican government, I can see no other course but legalization. People must be allowed to injure themselves if they wish to. Of course, they should also be absolutely responsible for their actions and left in their own mess, as it were. Government must get out of the business of protecting people against themselves. It makes us lazy, docile, and atrophies the reason. Freedom and responsibility are two sides of the same coin, and if the American people don't realize it, they're going to lose both. That's Mark from Clackamas, Oregon, and I thought it was a profound argument for legalization, and there are reasons to argue for it as well as against it. All right, we're going to open the lines now. If you want to comment on the show we had on between 11 and 1 Pacific time, the first 2 hours of the program, you're welcome to do it. Time travel, Madman Markham is doing, has done, plans to do, you're welcome to comment on that or anything I just brought up or anything that you would like to bring up at all. And I would like to say once again to everybody that in my estimation, talk radio is many things. It's not just politics. It's not just, at least to me, it's not. It's my style of talk radio, and you will hear me do many, many different things on this program. I'm convinced over the years that that has contributed to and is part of the reason for its success. It sometimes upsets people. But in my estimation, if you make no waves, then you're not really doing anything at all. So I will continue to do what some people think of as a little more than passing strange every now and then. It's just me, folks. On the first time caller line, you are on the air.
Hi, I'm an air traffic controller out of Salt Lake City.
Okay, would you turn your radio off, please?
Certainly.
Thank you. And an air traffic controller.
Yeah, referenced earlier in your broadcast, you mentioned the Republicans' contract with America.
Yes.
And there's currently a couple of issues that I'm concerned about. One is the the attack on the federal retirement system.
Yeah, oh, yes.
This is going to cost me a heck of a lot out of my pocket. It's, you know, we're looking at, you know, about $1,500 to $2,000 a year on that, plus increased health care. They're attacking my differential pay for being an air traffic controller, which was meant to revitalize the air traffic control field.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately on this, I think they're overlooking the fact that there is a lot of waste.
I don't suppose they hang portraits of Ronald Reagan up in the air traffic control area, do they?
No, no, they certainly don't.
They don't.
You know, and also this attack on federal retirement, it concerns us because this attack, as I call it, will send a signal to the rest of America, corporate America, to slash the retirement benefits that our workers have struggled so long and so hard to get. You know?
I do agree that the process is underway.
Right.
And ultimately, it's going to probably include Social Security as well, so everybody's at risk here. You know, either we get it together or just about everything's at risk.
Well, you know, and federal employees have been taking a hit for a long time. You know, as far as being unprofessional, unserviceable, and things of the nature. But unfortunately, you know, the airplanes fly through the sky safely, and no matter what you say about the post office, that mail does get delivered sooner
or
later.
Sooner or later is the key phrase. And,
the key phrase, but I mean, you know, overall for 32 cents, we're not doing too bad to mail a letter.
You know, something I want to ask you about, actually a couple things, as an air traffic controller. You know, in the post office, you mentioned it, we all know, they've had some people go kind of crazy.
Yeah.
And shoot people. Now, that was because it said of the pressure in the post office.
And if there,
let me finish.
Okay.
If there's any place that may have more pressure than a post office, it would be your job.
Right.
And yet I don't know of any air traffic controllers that have gone bonkers and grabbed a gun. Any thoughts on that?
No, they haven't. I think it's a lot of the problems in the post office are related to the supervision of their employees.
Ah.
From what I understand, you know, the employees felt they were being harassed, being watched too closely. Also, at one time in the Postal Service, they had one supervisor for every two employees.
Mm.
Now, that started to reverse the trend on Al Gore's reduction in government, the elimination of 252,000 jobs, and the supervisor-to-employee ratio of 15 to 1.
Well, that's a good answer. All right, one more question, then
yes.
I've got to go. I take it as an air traffic controller, you can read the transponder signals of aircraft. It's a good, clear way to read what's out there.
That is correct.
But you also have a real radar capability, do you not?
Yes, we do. It's the echo return off that.
Yeah, exactly, echo return. So my question is, how many times as an air traffic controller would you admit to have been tracking some sort of UFO, something that is traveling in the sky that you cannot account for?
Well, there's a lot of times out there. On the radar we have what they call, what the government alludes to, false targets. And they say it's a radar glitch in the radar problem. Well, I think that these radar glitches may be something else out there. I don't know. We have too many of them to account for.
Well, I'm sure, you know, I guess you can be fooled, but you over the years, you kind of learn to, recognize a real return, don't you?
Yeah, but just by their track and their movement. I've seen some suspicious things. In fact, we have a UFO hotline number up that we do call. But most controllers do not do that because then we may be, if we report that, we may be subject to some government testing.
Really?
That they don't want to admit to, so we generally don't call and report it.
That's...
You know, if you report this... And
that's exactly what I suspected, sir.
Yeah.
I
don't do it.
In other words, do you want to report one of them things?
No, absolutely not.
Absolutely not.
I may be over to the flight surgeon's office next week, and then I'm out of a job.
Oh, believe me, I understand. West of the Rockies, you're on the air.
Good morning, Art.
Good morning.
Hey, did you hear anything about the Cattle Guard incident with Bill Clinton?
Channel Guard?
Yeah.
What is that?
You know what a Cattle Guard is.
Oh, a Cattle Guard. Yeah, I know what a Cattle Guard is, sure.
Okay. Well, it seems that a report came out of Colorado.
You mean he was unable to cross one? Yeah, go ahead. I'm sorry.
It's all right.
God, that was awful. Finish your story.
He saw this report, or one of his the cohort saw this report that there was over 100,000 cattle guards in Colorado.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Well, he said, well, that's too many people to employ, so we have to get rid of these cattle guards, which is funny by itself. Patsy Schroeder picked it up and said, well, we can't fire all those cattle guards. We have to put them in some type of work training program. This is real, Art.
I believe you, sir. I believe you. Where will it all end? It's a wonderful world. Have a good morning. I must go.
Thanks.
Yeah, right. That's too many cattle guards on the payroll. Wildcard Line, you're on the air. Hello.
Good morning, Mr. Bell.
It's Leonard from South Dakota country.
Your program is most educational. I learned the difference between a cattle guard and a cattle guard this morning.
Yes.
And I also learned the difference between...
I think the president did, too.
Learned the difference between those people who are scared to death and those people who have perfect peace. You heard about that sect that thought the world was coming to the end?
Yes.
Well, there's nothing more devastating than think that the earth's going to pieces out from under your feet.
Yeah.
But the Christian reads the Bible and says that, well, there's 1,000 years, at least a millennium ahead of us, so we don't have to worry about the end of the world for 1,000 years.
You know something I've always wondered about, Leonard? Whether it's the religious people like yourself, or it's a psychic predicting the end of the world, or, you know, a gigantic earthquake or something, and they do it, and they talk about it, and they think about it, and they dwell on it, and they cogitate about it, and then the day comes, and it doesn't happen, do they feel disappointed?
Perfect peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them.
All right, well, we'll leave them with that thought. East of the Rockies, you are on the air. Good morning.
Hey, Art, how you doing?
Okay.
Hey, I really enjoyed the change of pace in your show, and I feel like everybody needs to kind of let loose a little bit.
Every now and then.
Every now and then. Hey, I want to say something to Mr. Markham if he's still listening. I don't know if he is, but there's a lot of people laughing at him right now. But remember, sir, they laughed at Edison, they laughed at Leonardo da Vinci, and they laughed at the Wright brothers.
Isn't that the truth?
That is the truth. So he needs to keep it up and just be careful. And the young man really does have a brilliant mind, even though he may be on the edge of being a little too smart for his own good, let's say.
Well, that's better than madness.
I don't think he's mad. He's obviously he's intelligent enough to understand what he's getting into, and I think that's all that counts.
I kind of like the guy.
Yeah, he sounds like he'd be a fun person to hang out with.
Did you hear when the arresting officer called?
Yes, sir, I did.
If you listen between the lines, that officer seemed to be saying, "Think about it. Don't do it. Don't you do it."
Yeah, he did, but then again, he seemed to be almost commending him.
Art, did you notice that there were no women calling in on your interview with the time machine mechanic, except women who thought he was a radical extremist or a madman? Does that tell you anything? Well, I don't know. I enjoyed listening to that kid. I'm 49 and laud him for trying things experimental. We still don't know the real effects of how electricity and radio waves affect the dimension we live in. It's pure theory, and for all we know, it may tamper with one of the other 13 dimensions suggested in Davies' Superstrings book, Good Show. What does it mean that women... Well, it was kind of a technical thing, and, you know, guys like that kind of thing, and women, some of them, are horrified by it. So I think that's your answer. I don't know what it says, though. And then this. Hi, Art. I really liked your guest tonight. I've always been a physics buff. One thing that bothers me about time travel, though, as a consequence of Einstein's theory of relativity, which stemmed from something called the Lorentz transformations, mathematical equations, which describe space and time dilations, a couple of things are apparent. One, in order to experience time dilation, one must reach the speed of light, at which point the person's momentum and hence mass become infinite. Two, the speed of light is an absolute maximum. It can't be exceeded. Not to say that these concepts from special relativity are absolutes, but they do seem to preclude time travel unless some grossly unobserved physical law exists. Time travel is a cool concept worth studying, but I'd love to hear from someone more educated in physics than myself comment on this. Tom, Columbia, Missouri. Well, I'm not sure of what I'm saying, but I believe that there was some theory or even possible proof that quarks have exceeded the speed of light, or a theory that they might exceed the speed of light. And I think that that's one of the things they were going to look at with the gigantic accelerator they were trying to build down in Texas. But I'm certainly not a physics person myself, so it's open for comment if anybody out there wants to comment. Art, a little information on the Palmdale Bulge. It is an anomaly, also known as an uplift. It is literally the ground surging upward. This particular uplift was discovered about 1980 and thought it was developed during the late 1960s or early 70s. But most seismologists agree that it has been rising continually ever since. Ooh, that's bad. That's Carol listening also to KFYI in Mesa. So, Carol, I don't know what to tell you. To me, the layman in these areas, it seems like a aneurysm. As I said earlier, an earth aneurysm. Is that out of line? Here we go. East of the Rockies, you're on the air.
Hi, Art. How you doing?
Just fine.
This is Mike calling from TDY in Madison.
Oh, Madison, Wisconsin. Yes, Mike.
And, well, one quick question and then a longer one. Does your Milwaukee station, is that going to carry you all the way to the end of the program? Because they chop you off for an hour here.
Well, it's a matter of time zones, Mike. In other words, the program here on the Pacific Coast goes until 4 a.m. There it would be 6, and most radio stations begin their morning shows, wake-up shows around 5.
Yeah.
So that's what happens.
Yeah, it's kind of sad because I never know what's going on for that final period of time. Irrelevant.
It's torture, I know.
Yeah, and I also wanted to mention, if your time traveler there ever does succeed, it'd be nice if you could maybe throw a dollar bill through there to see what shape that comes back in.
maybe a little tiny, tiny little $1 bill. That'd be frightening. It was a hell of a story, wasn't it?
Oh, it was pretty interesting, pretty interesting. It's hard to believe. I think it's more likely that it's creating an invisibility effect than time travel, though.
Well, maybe. Either way, it'd be a big story.
Yeah, well, speaking of other big stories, I got home today to a message on my answering machine, which was sort of chopped off because I have a really lame answering machine. But it's from my friend in Arizona who works in the parks and went camping with some geologists. And he mentioned about the Palmdale Bulge. Apparently they had a very spirited discussion about that, which I don't know what the Palmdale Bulge is. I was wondering if you knew.
But I'm not a geologist either, but it sounds bad, doesn't it?
Well, yeah, it sounds like it. Evidently it's something of great interest to them.
I would think of it just off the cuff as sort of an earth aneurysm.
I like that. All right. I'll get back to you as soon as I find out anything more specific, and I'll see if maybe one of these geologists would be gutsy enough to get on the air with you.
Oh, hey, listen, if you get one willing to go on, have them call me.
They're notoriously closed mouthed.
I know. So they like to talk around campfires, but you get them in front of a microphone, they clam right up.
That's right.
All right, thanks a million, and have them fax me. My fax number is area code 702-727-8499, 702-727-8499. And we have done one other thing that is really fun. And if you wish to partake, you're welcome to. I'm going to give you the number. We've got a whole bunch of pictures, GIF pictures, and if you've got an IBM compatible computer, you can get them. We've got them on a bulletin board, and we're increasing. I'm going to send 6 more photographs up there tomorrow. Right now, we've got one of myself and my wife, one of just me, one of me in the Air Force 30 years ago. We have a ghost photograph available, and I'm going to be uploading a second ghost photograph in color, by the way. Both of these are in color tomorrow. There is a color photograph of the studio that I'm broadcasting from right now in my home. Actually, a photograph of it up there. There are two photographs of Mexican UFOs, and this relates to last week's Dreamland program. We had a couple of researchers on who talked about the sightings in Mexico. It's very exciting. So we've got two Mexican photographs up there. We've got the Roswell movie photograph up there, the very controversial one. And as I said, we're going to put a half dozen up more tomorrow. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Hello.
Yes, sir.
Who's this?
Art Bell.
Art Bell, how you doing? You're talking about the Palmdale Bulge a minute ago.
Yes, the earth aneurysm.
Right. I'm calling from Pasadena, California, the home of Caltech.
Oh, yes.
And, I notice a lot. I drive by there every evening after I leave work. And one thing I notice is from the University of Oregon, I think it is,
yes,
they have geologist trucks down here, but they're volcanologists, and they have a little volcano on the side.
Uh-huh.
And they only show up at 4:30 in the morning.
Why 4:30 in the morning?
You got me.
Sounds secretive.
Yeah, well, another thing I heard, too, was out near Landers is the ground after the Landers earthquake was so hot you couldn't touch it.
Really?
Yeah.
Due to what?
I don't know. Well, you have volcanologists out there now from Caltech coming down from Oregon.
That's really odd.
I know, that's really odd, too. I don't want to start a rumor, but...
Yes, you do. That's what you're doing. You're starting a rumor. The hot earth theory.
Yeah, it could be. Remember, a week or so ago, I heard someone else talking about something similar to this.
Really?
Maybe it was over a week ago.
Well, we had a call, a very troubling call, from a man who talked about well levels and water tables.
Maybe that's what it was.
Rising. You remember that?
Yeah, I think that's what it was.
Oh,
I tried to call you right after I heard that.
There's a whole lot of geological rumor mongering going on, and there's something to it. I think there's something to it. Thank you very much for the call. You know, it's just sort of a collective input. I'm getting information and faxes you guys just flat wouldn't believe regarding people who think there's getting ready to be a geological upheaval of some sort. A lot of information, really. East of the Rockies, you're on the air.
Yes, Art. This is Bill in San Antonio.
Hi, Bill.
You, of course, are aware that the FCC limits the amount of fun you can have in a two-hour period. And you grossly exceeded that in your first 2 hours.
Oh, wasn't that something?
That brought back a lot of memories in my childhood. I played a lot with electronics and electrical circuits, and I used a lot of spark coils, and I did a lot of Jacob's Ladders type stuff, and I enjoyed all that.
I'm glad.
And that kind of thing really needs to be encouraged. It's not really even a madman type of thing. It's just a curiosity type thing that is really the basis of a lot of experimentation and what we have, the things that were developed, the technological things that we have today, really came from that kind of curiosity.
That's absolutely correct, and that's one of the reasons I went for the interview. I mean, there's just something about somebody like that.
It isn't anything unusual. It's like one of your callers that came in and said, a lot of wackos listen to your show. Well, I'm one of those wackos that, a financial analyst, but I grew up playing with that kind of stuff, and you get interested, you investigate things, you want to see what happens, and you try things out, and maybe you don't ever find anything, but you check things out.
Yes, sir. Thank you. I'll say it again. I think that talk radio should be on the edge. God knows we're on the edge. It should be on the edge. I mean, that's what it's all about. We're not mainstream media. I don't want to be mainstream media. I don't want to be mainstream media. And there is more to life than politics. There are a million different areas and things that you can talk about. And I just as soon let this program, as I have for all the years I've been on the air, going on a decade, about a decade, doing this particular program, I've let it range wherever it's going to range. And I'm not going to change that. I don't care how big it gets. I'm not going to change that. east of the Rockies. You're on the air. Good morning.
Hi, Art. How you doing? This is Clayton down in Laughlin.
Hello, Clayton.
I wanted to catch up with you and give you some food for thought.
Okay.
The quirk you were thinking about was the Tachyon.
Tachyon.
Tachyon, very good. Moves faster than the speed of light, so therefore it's going backwards in time.
Well, that's what the theory is, yes.
Right. And would also kind of remind you about the Montauk Project.
Oh, indeed. Michael talked about that project, and I've had people on the air about that project. And look, I don't rule out what happened to Michael, you know, his story. I don't rule it out at all. It may have exactly happened as he said.
Well, interesting enough about it is the aspect of having to use a psychic in order to actually kind of make things work. You know, using kind of like what they call amorphous resonance.
Yeah.
You know, what makes your nose, what makes your eyes, these things come down in literal form. And supposedly that's why the Philadelphia experiment worked so well, because everything was tubes other than transistors.
Yes.
And had a natural resonance at that time.
That is correct, yes. Mm-hmm.
But nowadays they can digitally sample the resonance factor.
It's a point well made, thank you. I was talking to a man up in Washington State earlier tonight who claims to be working with dual resonance technology and claims to be able to move in time. But that's a story for another day. On the wild card line, you're on the air. Good morning.
Hey, Art, what's up?
Well, you are. You're up, sir. Where are you calling from?
Kodiak, Alaska.
Kodiak, Alaska. I was going to say, I'll bet you it's Kodiak because we get this unusual delay when we talk to people there in Kodiak.
Oh, that's weird. I haven't called in about a year and a half, so I don't know.
Well, that's an even bigger delay. What's on your mind?
I was wondering about that time travel thing. I read an article in Discovery a while back that talked about this concept of different universes where when you travel in time, you don't actually travel in time, you just travel to a different universe. And every universe is just a different setup of each other, and how concept. Like, if I went back in time and killed my dad, you'd think I wouldn't be born, but actually I would have gone to a different universe, so in my own universe I'd still be alive.
In that alternate universe, would your father also be alive?
No, because I would have killed him.
Well, yeah, but but you said you would then be in an alternate universe, and in that alternate universe, for you to exist, your dad would also have to exist. You would just sort of blow yourself out
but
of
my, the... But my other self, the alternate universe, would die, not me, because I'm from the other universe.
All right, sir. Thank you. It seems to me that to be consistent, you would, in effect, when you killed your father, blow yourself out of this universe, find yourself in another universe where your continuity can be accounted for. In other words, where your father still lives if he was supposed to be alive, and you could only exist there. Wildcard line, you're on the air.
Yeah, good morning. My goodness, I can't believe I got in.
Yes, you have. Where are you?
In Kansas City.
Kansas City.
Yeah.
Not far from Madman Markham.
Right, except I woke up as he went off.
Oh, that's too bad. You missed a good one.
Yeah. You know, I was wondering, did you ever think that the space, you know, all the space that they do at NASA has changed what's going on with the earthquakes and the floodings and all that and the pollution? I always thought that maybe that has a lot to do with the climate change and everything.
Well, I had a lady who called up not long ago and thought that every time they fire off the shuttle, it's like firing it off from the center of a balloon. And when the shuttle goes through the balloon, a bunch of stuff blows out before the hole seals up.
Right.
Is that your kind of thinking?
Well, years ago when I was in high school, our science teacher said that when you would put something through the stratosphere, that you would change the molecules, which would have a lot to do with the weather and what have you. And every time they go up, it seems that there is freak floods, freak earthquakes, and I really think that it has a lot to do with the ozone and everything else, because it's bound to have pollution from the fuel they use.
Well, I guess there's that. I mean, who knows? There are people who believe that our moral behavior is causing this. There are people who believe it is the space shuttle. There are people who believe that it's an angry God shaking his finger at us.
Well, you know what? Maybe it's a combination, because it's like if God's saying, hey, don't come up here. You don't have any business down here. You can't even take care of what's down below. Why are you worrying about what's up here?
Do you think God would say that?
Some people would say, well, but God gave us the knowledge to do these things. But it seems to me like it's one place where the budget should be cut. I don't think they need to spend that much money on NASA when they could take that same money and use it for research that NASA, yes, they have come up with a lot of good things, but they should take that money and work on the good things that they've come up with and maybe use their knowledge to help people down here, not up there.
Well, I know, but you've got Teflon pans.
No, that's what I mean. They came up with some good things, but really, what are we doing now up there? What good is it? You know, I don't understand why they...
Well, communication satellites come to mind. I mean, there's a lot of technology. I mean, right now, you're able to get my voice because it's going up to a satellite that's distributing it throughout the whole country.
This is true. Like I said, there's good, but I think there's also a lot of bad that it's causing. I really think it's causing the...
Of course, depending on how you feel about my program, maybe you could say it's bad.
No, I enjoy your program when I'm up.
Well, I'm glad that you're up, and I'm glad that you called, and I really have to go because I've got a newscast coming.
Okay.
All right, thank you very much for the call, and I guess that'll do it for this hour.